This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. After the November election, we spoke with Gary Wilson about what the Trump administration could mean for Great Lakes policy. Now, nearly 2 months after President Trump took office, we have a better idea, including a proposed cut to federal Great Lakes restoration funding. We again turn to Gary Wilson, who is now a contributor to Detroit Public Television's Great Lakes Bureau. Gary Wilson, once again, thank you for being with us.
Hey, Gordon. Been a while. Good to be back with you.
So if this proposed cut were to stand the Great Lakes restoration programs, what would that mean in terms of the impact it would have on programs for the region?
Well, if the cuts stand, Gordon, it would be absolutely devastating for the programs. When you take something that's been in place, fully implemented in beginning in 2010, and take it from $300 million a year to $10 million a year, you know, it's the rough equivalent of just doing a panic stop if you're driving your car. There are so many programs in place, and so many of them are going forward. And then when you suddenly pull the funding from them, and not only the funding, you're threatening to cut the staff at the EPA who implements many of the programs, most of them, by 20-25%, pick your number. And that just puts a halt to everything. There's no slowdown. There's no wind down period. It would have a serious impact all across the basin from New York to Minnesota.
If we look back at President Trump, now President Trump, when he was campaigning last year, would we say that these cuts match what he was talking about on the campaign trail? Do these cuts match his rhetoric?
Well, you know, he's such a wild card with what he says. You know, he's very bombastic, as we all know, and he says one thing one day and, you know, kind of goes in a different direction the next day, depending on, you know, who he's speaking to. He's always been after the EPA, not singling out Great Lakes programs or any specific watershed, but he's been after the EPA for a couple of years. Now, that said, he did send a surrogate to the Great Lakes Conference that took place in Sandusky, Ohio, last September, and the gentleman presented to the mostly environmental groups, and he just said that the Great Lakes were on Mr. Trump's radar, and how much he cared about clean water, and Eric Trump, President Trump's son, had Trump's ear about environmental issues, and he pledged, you know, continued support for the Great Lakes. He did not mention any dollar amounts, though. So that seemed to placate the activists a little bit. And I'm not sure that they were ready for this shoe that fell last week on the budget.
Has Great Lakes funding been a partisan issue in the past, or has it broken down more along geographic lines, you know, the congressional representatives of Great Lakes states being on board regardless of party?
Great Lakes states, on funding, the Great Lakes congressional delegation has been in sync, be they Republicans or Democrats. And as far as nationally, you know, most regions of the country have programs similar to the Great Lakes restoration programs. Chesapeake Bay has one, San Francisco Bay, Puget Sound, the Everglades. So, and they're all looking for federal money to support the program. So there's been a level of comity, spelled I-T-Y, in Congress about funding these programs for the last 8 years, be they by Republicans or Democrats. So a short answer is good bipartisan support up until this point.
And in this case, we are talking about, in terms of Great Lakes states, a number of Republican members of Congress who it would seem have some influence, not the least of which would be Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House from Wisconsin. But you could also probably include Fred Upton in there from Southwest Michigan, who is no longer chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, but is a veteran congressman who is known for working across the aisle, getting things done. Would it be fair to say that this could run into some headwinds from the Republicans in Congress who hold some powerful positions in these Great Lakes states?
I think the Republicans generally will be on board in trying to restore some of this money. I wouldn't rely too much on Paul Ryan. His district has Lake Michigan front in it. But he's always been fairly aloof when it comes to Great Lakes issues, which is fairly curious. He's not against them, but he doesn't lobby and work hard for them. But Fred Upton could be a key player. Representative David Joyce from the Cleveland area has been an advocate. He's a Republican. He's been an advocate for restoring the Great Lakes, for securing money. I think you're going to see some pushback by the Great Lakes congressional delegation. But when it gets right down into trench warfare, how hard will they push? How much will they be able to restore? You know, that's why they call these processes sausage making. They're not pretty to watch, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out the other end.
Also should have mentioned Bill Heisinger there, the congressman from Zeeland, who is head of this Great Lakes Congressional Working Group right now as well.
Yes.
Realistically, if we're looking ahead politically here, what are some likely outcomes? I mean, it may be hard to pinpoint one likely outcome, but what are a couple things that might happen by the time the Trump White House and Congress sit down, mark up bills, and eventually reach some sort of agreement?
Well, I've been canvassing the region by talking with people who were in the Obama administration in positions of responsibility, kind of getting their feel for it. And the easy place to go is that they'll restore the money to $150 million, which is 50% of the $300, and all sides can declare victory. The Trump administration can say, well, we whacked the EPA's budget because that sells politically. And the Great Lakes states can say, hey, we fought the good fight and we took on the president and we got $150 million. And, you know, that was as good as could be done. A lot of those common rules are, you know, maybe off the table. This is not a president who plays by the standard rules that we've all come to accept on some level. So I gave up predicting a long time ago when it comes to Mr. Trump.
We're talking here mainly about policy, of course, but if we take a moment and look at this politically, the states that are going to be seriously affected include Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Those are states that former President Obama, won twice, states that now President Trump won in 2016, and if he had not won those three states, he wouldn't be the president of the United States right now. It's hard to know how politics plays into this always, but it certainly does, and does that provide a bit of a backdrop?
I think it does, and I just found it fairly astonishing, Gordon. You're right. If Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin don't go to the Trump camp, he's not president. And I would have thought that, you know, he would have taken a look at that, especially in Ohio, which has historically been sort of the ultimate swing state, and with Lake Erie, which borders on Michigan too, being the most vulnerable of the Great Lakes, and then to come through with an axe instead of a scalpel when you're going to address the EPA budget or the Great Lakes restoration budget. Again, there's no logic there, and that's what has people absolutely baffled.
So explain a little bit about something called the Waters of the United States Rule.
The Waters of the United States Rule, Gordon, is a rule promulgated by the Obama administration, and what it's meant to do is to clear up exactly what waters come under the Clean Water Act. You know, the Clean Water Act is the federal law in place since the early 70s that governs the states, you know, which waters can be regulated by the federal government. And it goes like this, and that is you've got creeks that lead to streams, that lead to rivers, that lead to lakes. So if you don't pay attention to what comes out of those creeks, streams, and rivers, you know, you're not going to control what goes into the lakes. And there were two Supreme Court decisions in the past 5 or 6 years that really, instead of clearing things up, they really just muddied the waters. Sorry for the bad pun there. So the Obama administration took it on and charged the U.S. EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers with sorting this out. And they went through a two-year process of crafting the rule, listening to various constituencies, and they finally finalized it and tried to implement it in 2015. Well, it was immediately challenged in court. The agricultural the community and real estate developers were the two prime groups to take it on. Many attorneys general from the states also fought against it, and I believe Michigan's Attorney General Schuette has weighed in against the rule. So one of the first things that President Trump did was he can't roll back the rule. He doesn't have that authority, but he's going to have the EPA and the Army Corps review it. So it's on hold. It's on hold right now because it's in the courts and it's being appealed. But he definitely wants to get rid of it. And this is a landmark piece of, it's not legislation, a rule. So it's very important to not only the region, but the country.
There's also the delay in the plan, which was kind of the first step in trying to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes. But the Trump administration has put a delay in there as well. How time sensitive is that issue, Asian carp and just invasive species in general?
Well, they've been, you know, it's always time sensitive. You know, the things move slowly, and, you know, but they have to move forward if someday you don't want to see, you know, you don't want to keep Asian carp from coming up the Kalamazoo River. The Army Corps was charged with putting together a plan to look at this area in the Chicago waterway system called the Brandon Road Lock. It is thought that this could be a choke point to keep the carp from advancing. There's good bipartisan support in general for this to look at this. And the Army Corps had gone through a process and done a study to present options. They weren't trying to implement anything. They were just trying to present the options. And they were ready to do so. And then literally on the last day, the Trump administration ordered the Corps to hold off. And they did that because they were getting a lot of pressure from the Illinois congressional delegation, along with Indiana, who are really wary of any infrastructure projects that could disrupt shipping. So many Republican representatives in the Illinois congressional delegation wrote to the president, asked him to put this study on hold, and he did.
Is this a rare case where we have an issue where the Great Lakes region on a Great Lakes issue is kind of divided? In other words, you just mentioned Illinois and Indiana there. Are they viewing Asian carp a little differently than perhaps it is viewed here in Michigan?
They definitely are, Gordon. You've got the other six Great Lakes states and Canada, Ontario and Quebec, aligned essentially against Illinois and Indiana. And that's because the shipping lobby is very powerful in Illinois and Indiana. There's a lot of barge traffic that moves through the Chicago waterway system, especially to northwest Indiana, carrying raw materials for production. And they have that economic argument on their side. And they're very well entrenched, and they're very skilled at lobbying the politicians.
Gary Wilson, as always, thank you for your time.
Good to be with you, Gordon. Thank you.
Gary Wilson is a contributor to Detroit Public Television's Great Lakes Bureau. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.